welcome to this week's CMS Personalized Learning Teacher Voice Podcast, Episode 19. My name is Lisa Gerthy, and today we're going to talk about how to get started creating a makerspace in your school by looking at what we do at Piedmont Middle School. If you want to have a makerspace, you have to be ready to hear this. The sound of colorful, transparent plastic shapes crashing down onto a light box here at Piedmont Middle School's Media Center. But don't turn off the podcast just yet, because if you can handle the occasional unpredictable crash, you also get to hear noises like this.
What changes it? What? Look, it turned it off. It puts voltage into it.
That was the sound of a student here having a learning epiphany about voltage, not because he was taught it, but because he was tinkering with student electronics kit here in the makerspace and put two and two together himself. Piedmont Media Specialist Lisa Neuberger and I are not engineers, but we do support teachers and students in their STEAM-infused lessons and passion projects. The creation of a makerspace at our school has linked our traditional library with the maker movement, a student-centered, creativity-driven movement that links digital skills like coding and electronics with design, engineering, arts, sciences, and project-based learning, all with an old-school shop class ethos. It brings back physical and practical skill practice that used to be lost in schools since the days of classes like mechanics, woodshop, cooking, and sewing. Plus, it infuses modern skills like engineering and computer-assisted design into K-12, where it's been sorely lacking. Our view of the maker movement involves any creation-driven project. On any given day, we have students creating their own designs with art, music, and even dance. We don't believe there's a wrong way to make. The Piedmont Media Center Makerspace, as realized by Mrs. Neuberger, is a comfortable, appealing, and inviting part of the school. It somehow manages to be both relaxing and energizing at the same time. Ms. Neuberger is the perfect modern media specialist. She recognizes the value of exploration and excitement, but provides a structure and order by rotating the various makerspace offerings to keep it humming and keep the curiosity going, but hold the chaos down to a minimum. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Lisa. I'm glad to be here with you.
We're so fortunate you could speak with us, Ms. Neuberger. Do you have to be an expert to start a makerspace?
No, of course not. Anyone can start a makerspace. We always say, don't wait until you feel comfortable. Get the makerspace materials into your school now. The students will be drawn to the materials, and you'll figure it out as you go. We started with a budget of zero. We set out crafting and science supplies we already had access to. Many items were repurposed, like sewing machines from old home economic storage closets. We got a lot of items like Legos and duct tape donated by parents.
What is the benefit of starting a makerspace for a school?
It's been noted to help with dropout prevention, since it really gives students the opportunity to use all of their multiple intelligence that don't normally get exercised in school. The students get a chance to shine and explore. It's also a Girls in STEAM motivator. The stations are available for all students, and our girls like to collaborate together. So the STEAM stations we created promote the social aspect of STEAM, which appeals to middle school girls. Plus, making is a 21st century skill that resembles the real world and teaches the skills employers seek. Those directly correlate with the PL Learner profile that is a main feature of personalized learning in CMS.
Tell us more about those skills employers seek.
Well, according to the 2013 Forbes magazine article, there are 10 main skills employers seek. For the sake of time, I'll share five I think really speak to the makerspace and personalized learning movement. Number one is the ability to work in a team. That we see in personalized learning, scholars who strive to collaborate effectively. Number two, the ability to make decisions and solve problems. Number three, the ability to communicate verbally with people inside and outside of an organization, which is why the PL Learner profile stresses effective communication. Number four, proficiency with computer software programs. And number 5, the ability to sell and influence others, which clearly matches being entrepreneurs and leaders, which is a feature of the personalized learning learner profile.
And making helps develop those personalized learning skills. How do you see those in your makerspace?
Yes, students show those skills as they create new things and communicate with each other on how to use the makerspace tools. Also, making cures the fear of failure. It becomes part of the making process. Inevitable but surmountable. This happens because a big part of the makerspace process is prototyping. Some students may make a marble run that they think is beautiful and perfect, but when they place the marble at the top and it doesn't make it all the way to the bottom, that is when they have to reevaluate and try again. And you and I both know that the value of that logic-based problem solving without fear of a bad grade is an important growth experience for our our middle schoolers.
Yeah, I sure do. You hit the nail on the head with that. So tell me, though, more about how it actually works. What kind of things do you have out in your makerspace?
I have several stations that I rotate out monthly or as needed. And we have a science station that has microscopes. We put out little bits and snap circuits. We have a sewing machine station that students have made pillows and sewed their own clothing designs. We have a robotic station that has Spheros, Dot and Dash, and Ozobots. The favorite is the BB-8 because of the Star Wars movies, but it also gets all students interested in programming and robotics. In one corner, we have a double whiteboard that functions as a large collaboration station. Students gather there to work out problems, explain things to each other, write poetry, draw and design. We have many culturally diverse students, and they teach each other new languages and alphabets and how to write words and their names, and they leave it on the whiteboard for all of Piedmont to see. We also have Minecraft, which is probably one of the most popular stations. We had the forethought to keep 20 desktops after our school went 1-to-1, and students use those for Minecraft. I have to limit it to certain days of the week because the noise level from the excitement of building and playing together in an online world can be a little overwhelming. We also have Legos to build 3D projects, along with Kinects and Magnetiles, just like those ones you heard in the beginning. The Magnetiles are marketed to a younger audience, but we have found that our children rediscover the joy of building beautiful designs on our repurposed light box from the art room. And if they like computers, they can code and build with BitBox or CAD with Tinker. Those are all both free websites. I'm also very proud of our stop motion studio.
Oh yes, describe that for me.
It has a rotating arm and backdrop that holds an iPad. Students choose from Goodwill finds and plastic characters to handmade props to film their own stop motion animation movie. We bought the stop motion studio from Ready Animator and the students have enjoyed it. Sometimes they just walk by and watch someone else using it, and the next day they're in there creating their own movie.
Do you have any other video tools?
We also have a class set of iPads and iMovie and some of the special effects apps. And our TV studio has a green screen. We film the morning announcements there each morning and the students run the show.
And I've also noticed that our students really like the makey-makey that you set out and, of course, the 3D printer.
Next, we're looking to get a laser cutter to expand our fabrication station.
Well, thank you so much, Mrs. Neuberger. Do you have any other advice?
Just know that sometimes I need to take down the center for a while because it can just take over. We had a Hot Wheels test track. Students loved it and did a lot of scientific thinking and problem solving. Problem is, they got so interested in it that they ended up taking stacks of books off the shelves to engineer ramps and towers that spread the whole length of the library. Orange track was everywhere. I put it away for a little while so I could get my books back in order, but it was impressive. And that is one center where the girls and boys were working together and problem solving together, so that was nice.
I remember, that was wonderful. Well, that brings us back to the beginning. Remember that boy who had the voltage epiphany while tinkering with the electronic light here in the makerspace? Well, he's 7th grader Cole Peoples, and I actually interviewed him to get the student perspective on the makerspace. I asked Cole why he came into the makerspace most every day. And he said he liked to see new things that he had going on and experimenting with something new. He got to carry his thoughts and have a little free time to just explore. So that's it. You should try the makerspace. Will there be a mess? Yes. But will it be worth it? It sure will. And if you want to learn more about makerspaces and how to incorporate them in your classroom or school, check out the virtual course and personalized learning course catalog. Thanks for listening to the CMS Teacher Voice this week. We look forward to learning with you more next week.